episode of the Naturist Living Show, new exciting options for naturism in Paris.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener. And before we go any further, this is episode 100. This has done 100 episodes in 9 years. In fact, as I'm recording this in December of 2017, we started in December of 2008. So it has been 9 years. We are now starting our 10th year. We should have hit 100 episodes sooner. As you know, I got a little behind. In 2015, I only had 5 episodes, and in 2016, 9 episodes, and so we're catching up and we're going back to 12 per year. And I guess I'm releasing them a little bit more like Netflix. I release them now in bunches of episodes, so it's like a little series, and you can binge listen to a whole bunch at a time, and then you have to wait, just like you have to wait for the next set of episodes on Netflix of your favorite show. So I hope that works out. It's working for me, obviously. It's what I have to do because of the way things get crazy and busy during the summer and even at different times of the year with my other businesses. So 100 episodes. How exciting is that? So for a 100th episode, it seemed that going to something that historically was big in naturism makes sense. And we've talked about naturism in Paris when my wife and I visited the swim of the Association Naturiste de Paris, which they had in the pool. And we had a nice discussion with Laurent, who you remember is a native English speaker as well, which made it much easier for this podcast since it's Anglophone. And, I have a particular special spot for France because it is the number one naturist destination in the world. It has the big resorts that I've also told you about in our terms of our visit to Montalivet. It is out of 3.5 million visitors, naturist visits that they have every year. 2 million are from outside. So France actually has more people practicing naturism who are not French, even though there's a lot of French people who do as well. And naturism may not have started in France. It's really started likely in Germany, depending on where you're looking. But that's where the big push and the idealism behind the movement is. We generally all agree that's where it started at the beginning of the 20th century, or actually even late 19th century. So, but it was France, through the leadership of Albert and Christian Lecoq after World War II, that really developed naturism as a vacation destination, as a very mainstream things with the hundreds of clubs and resorts that they now have. And France also is built one of the strongest national federations at the time, and was instrumental in getting the International Naturist Federation that brought all the countries together and helped develop other federations all over the world. Unfortunately, that's become weaker over time, and France in some ways has gone downhill a bit. It's still a number one destination for naturism, but the French Federation is not as powerful as it used to be. The INF has, as you know, gone through some troubles. We're not seeing the development as there was. We're not seeing people pushing the envelope. Naturism in a lot of parts of France has become more just about nudity and sometimes sexual nudity, like you see in Cap d'Agde. You're not seeing the leadership and the ideology anymore. You're not seeing the trying to change the world and finding a better way to live. You do find that in some of the clubs, but nationally they have not maintained their leadership role, and I'm sad because nobody's really taking that up in the way that they used to be doing it. And even the term naturism probably comes because France adopted that. Nudism was more common in English-speaking countries. And in Germany, of course, it's Freikörperkultur, FKK or FKK. But it was because everybody was vacationing in France, in my opinion, and France was using naturism, that became the more common term that is used around the world, even if it's not common everywhere, and some places still prefer nudism. So it's with great hope and excitement that I saw the developments in France this year with a very successful booth at a show in France promoting naturism and the acceptance of it. And then I saw that Paris, for the first time, had designated last year they announced they were going to do it, and then this year they did it in the summer. It took them a while, but they announced that they would create a section in a park in Paris where people can sunbathe nude with naturists. People can practice naturism. Unheard of. There's never been that kind of thing officially in Paris. You think of France as being very tolerant, but nudity is not legal in France. It's only tolerated on beaches. Women aren't allowed to be top-free in the parks in Paris. You may be thinking that Europeans do that all the time, but then you're thinking of Germans. You're thinking in Germany, where you will find people sunbathing nude at lunch in parks, but not in France. But now that's possible. And then shortly followed by a restaurant opening in Paris where people will be nude, and they have to be nude. It's a naturist restaurant that is not far from the park and not far from the ANP holds its swim. So you've got a naturist neighborhood developing in Paris, which is fantastic. They're not the first to have a nude restaurant. It's been done in London, and there was another city. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I'm really excited to see it all come together in France. So I gave Laurent a call so we could learn all about what's going on and how this happened, because I know that ANP was instrumental in making all this happen. So Laurent, you've had a pretty incredible summer in Paris, and lots of summer and fall, lots of exciting things happening.
Yeah, it's been a huge year for our association and also for the naturist movement in general. As you know, I mean, it's been, how long has it been since we last saw each other? A year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
And in that time, we've increased the amount of activities that we have with the Association des Naturistes de Paris. So I think at the time I saw you, we probably had about, we had our swimming pool sessions already 3 times a week, plus the gym, which is open 5 times a week. That hasn't changed, but external activities have only been going on for a couple of years now. So it started off with maybe one or two maximum per month, and now I compare us to mice in a wheel, because once the wheel turns, it's just easier to do more and more. So when someone suggests something to us, we say, yes, yeah, sure, throw it to us, we can have it. So nothing seems to be too much now. So we've been extremely active all throughout the year, and the best part was during summer. Well, for 6 weeks towards the end of summer, was the opening of the naturist zone in the Bois de Vincennes. So in the woods, just on the east side of the city, and so it was a fairly large space surrounded by trees. Which was legally a naturist zone for 6 weeks. So it was an experiment with the city of Paris. So the actual idea came from the city. It didn't come from us, but we were actually planning to propose it to them. So we'd actually already written a whole document on the pros and cons. Obviously, there were more pros from our side. And we were ready to launch it. And then suddenly, out of the blue, they came up with the idea themselves. So we were involved in negotiations because obviously the city of Paris prefers to negotiate with Parisians. So because we're the largest club in the city and the oldest, they wanted us to be extremely involved in the concept. So one thing though was that because it was their idea, we didn't want to be responsible for it because we already have enough on our plate. So we didn't want, it was actually a huge thing because when we have people come to our pool or to our activities outside of the pool, we're in control. But when you're talking about a public zone that's open to everybody, it's not easy to control. You can't control who comes in, who goes out. So we did really want it to be clear that the city of Paris was in charge. But I think that somewhere along the line, they were scared of criticism. So on their website, they put all these links to us. So it's actually a huge free publicity campaign for the association. And it worked. In the end, it was a huge success. There were young people, old people, men, women, children, everything you can imagine. And it was really, nudity was totally respected. You know, every now and then you might see someone who was with, so there might be a couple, one naked, one not, but more than 99% of people were naked. And we organized a few picnics there. The first one, we had 350 people, and we were very impressed with that number. And then the second one, there were 410, and we were even more impressed. But the last one, on the last day of the six-week period, there were 730 people.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
730. It's amazing. Because 730 people who come to a Parisian park to be naked, it really does show that there is a demand for it. Because that was the thing, of course, that this had never been done in France before. Obviously, it exists elsewhere in Europe. But the French were always a little bit scared about launching something with no walls. I think that's what it comes down to. Because a beach sort of does have a big wall, being the ocean. And here we're talking about a section of a park that's open. There were five entrances into it, and so they were a little concerned, but it all went very, very well.
So let's take a step back though for a second, if we can, because you know, a lot of people listening, they know France is the number one destination for naturism. You know, the pictures, the history. You know, the 50s, the 60s, you see a lot of imagery and of topless women on beaches, and France was leading the way with women being topless, and the biggest naturist resorts in the world are in France. I think a few people might be surprised that you couldn't be nude in the park, because they've seen pictures of people nude in parks in Europe.
I think it comes down to the fact that we've chatted about this before, you and I, but my own personal view is that when Germans first launched the naturist movement in Germany, they chose not to hide behind high walls, and they used their full names. They were open about what they did, and as a result, non-naturists in Germany, they don't really suspect anything strange within the naturist movement because it was never hidden. Whereas in France, they took the decision to construct clubs with big walls around them or big fences. And so it was a sort of almost like a hidden sect. And so obviously people who aren't part of that movement, they just make their own assumptions as to what goes on behind those walls.
So what was the situation until you and the city worked and created this area of the Bois de Vincennes? What happened if somebody went for decide if what could people do in Paris if they were naturist, and what happened if somebody was nude in a public park sunbathing?
Okay, well, a naturist who wanted to participate in nude activities in Paris would have to come to either our club or Notena, which is another naturist club. They are a scuba diving club. Obviously, with all of our activities, it's not like there's nothing to do. But in the warmer months, the only activity that we could provide to our members was to go outside of Paris, because it wasn't legal to be naked within the city limits. So in the two major woods, Bois de Vincennes on the east side, Bois de Boulogne on the west side of the city, people have always taken their clothes off in certain secluded areas. And the problem is that if the police come across them, they can be fined. And there's a confusion in French law between nudity and sexual exhibition, actually. So it's actually quite insulting for naturists to have that confusion. And someone who's just innocently lying on a towel, soaking up the sun naked, can be accused of being an exhibitionist. So this zone finally allowed people who'd already been using the woods for a long time to continue to do what they were doing, but legally.
So how hard was it for the city to finally decide? Were all politicians for it, or was there a lot of opposition?
Not as much opposition as one would imagine. It was pretty well supported, actually. The thing is that when the idea was launched in September 2016, there was such a media buzz that I think that the city couldn't really go back on it, because I don't know how it is in other countries, but in France over the last couple of years, the reports on naturism have become really positive. So there was a period when they would say all sorts of silly things, all the cliches would come out, but now it's actually really positive reporting. And so I'm talking about non-naturist journalists. They present mm-hmm. naturism in a fantastic way, and so when the whole thing came out in 2016, it was reported. Of course, you've always got your politicians or your commentators who come up with all those the silly things that are associated with people's idea of naturism, but for the most part, it was so positive that the city couldn't go back on their word. It just had to happen. So it took longer than we anticipated, because we were hoping for it to be open in May of this year. But excuse me, due to the national elections and also local elections, it couldn't happen that early. So it was actually put off until next year. And then at the beginning of August, they told us that we could actually have it for the end of August for 6 weeks only.
Well, that's very nice. It's fantastic. But, you know, in terms of negative press in France, the other area, if you will, designated by a municipality in France for naturism has become a problem and a black eye to naturism, and I'm talking about Cap d'Agde. Of course, it's a much bigger area. But that is the problem with Cap d'Agde, is because it is public, there is no control over behavior. And as most people know now, Cap d'Agde is not a place for naturism, it's a place for swingers and other libertines. How do you prevent that from happening here?
Okay, We made a decision. So as I said, we weren't controlling the zone, but it was in our interest that it worked.
Yeah.
So before it actually opened, we, myself and my board, we decided to adopt a policy where we would walk around and just talk to people. Especially when we saw people who were alone, we would talk to everyone to humanize the area, because I find that by humanizing it, we desexualize it. So anyone who comes hoping for something other than naturism, they would be pretty disappointed if someone came up and started a conversation with them, because it takes away all the excitement, all the sexual excitement. So we did that, and it really, really worked. And someone said to us that since we'd been there, that there was actually less sexual activity in Europe. Apparently it was in any woods, I think, in any city, I think that you do end up with sections that end up as cruising zones. So there was apparently cruising that used to go on there. And during that 6-week period, it was reduced to almost nothing. And the other really positive comment we had was from the people employed by the city of Paris, who would come clean every day. They said that since we'd been there, it had never been so clean. It wasn't even a piece of paper lying on the ground or anything. Any of us, at the end of the day when we would leave, we would not only take our own rubbish, but anything else that we might see lying somewhere, we'd put that in the rubbish bag as well. So
yeah, that's good. What works everywhere around the world is when you have a beach or a section, public section dedicated for naturism, it always works best if there is a group of people who are dedicated to maintaining it and to keeping standards and to speaking up when things are wrong. And you see that, you know, at Hallover Beach, and you see that at Wreck Beach, and obviously we're seeing that in Bois de Vincennes in Paris now as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that by setting a good example, in general, people do follow that. And as I said, perhaps some people came looking for something else, but maybe they changed their mind when they got there and they saw that it's just naturism, it's just people lying in the sun and having a picnic or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's I'm sure that a lot of people who have other intentions, they still like to have a nice picnic. So, you know, they can put aside any other ideas they have and just accept it as it is. And there you go. It worked. So hopefully it will be renewed for next year. Nothing's sure yet, because I had a meeting with the local mayor about a month ago, and she said that there is no reason why it shouldn't reopen next year. But until we've got something signed and official, I'm not saying anything, because you know, anything's possible.
So can you describe the area, what it looks like? Is it just grass, or are there any facilities? Did the city do any special constructions of anything?
No, in fact, they can't. The laws in the woods are quite strict. They can't very easily build anything. So even just to put the 5 signs up at the entries to warn people that they were entering a nude zone, they had to have a special meeting where anyone who lived around the area could come and express their concerns. So that was actually the thing that the surrounding is. Let me just quickly explain something. This wooded area belongs to Paris, but it's not actually within the walls of Paris. So it was Napoleon III who incorporated it into the city in, I think it was on the 1st of January 1860, if I'm not mistaken. So you actually feel as though you're going out of the city, but you are still in Paris when you go into this massive area. It's a huge wood, and it used to be part of the hunting grounds of the kings of France. When I say the kings of France, I'm talking about medieval times. So the castle, Vincennes Castle, was famous during the reign of Charles V, which was in the 14th century. So there's a huge alley that heads out from the castle. And that was the alley that the king would take to head out to go hunting. And once you get into that alley, about 50 meters down on the left, suddenly you see this tiny little pathway, and you take that, and then you come across a sign saying you're entering a naturist zone, or rather you're entering a zone where naturism is tolerated or authorized. And so that way no one could be shocked. And it's not a zone that people need to go past, because there are plenty of other wider alleys around, so no one actually needs to cross it. So most people who walk their dogs through the area or whatever, they weren't offended at all. And we even had some people come in and say, on the first day, there was a lady who said to me, "It's terrible that the city could only give you this small space." And we were actually quite happy with the size of it. But although on that last day with 730 people, I have to say that it did feel a bit small.
Is there any opportunity to swim?
No, unless it rains, and suddenly there's this huge mud patch. So if you like, if you're into mud diving. No, okay, look, there's the only... As I said, the only construction were the five signs saying that you're entering a nude zone. There isn't even a tap there for water. So on hotter days, to fill up our water bottles, we had to put a pair of shorts on and walk about 500 meters to the large space I was talking about that kings used to use. And there's a tap there to fill up with Parisian water. But so there's no tap, there are no toilets, there are no facilities at all. So it really is rustic. You've got to come with everything.
Well, it's a great success, though. It's a great start. And who knows, maybe with time there will be more facilities. It's not your only success. So. You've just last week you had the first, the opening of a new restaurant called Au Naturel. How was that?
Yes, it's fantastic. It's so these two brothers, Stéphane and Mike, they came up with the idea. Well, the idea came after the success of the restaurant in London, which was only for a short period, and they decided to open it up not too far from our pool, because they, again, this was following the success of the naturist zone in the woods. So we've now ended up with a quartier naturist in the around our area. So I can get to every nude activity in Paris on foot now. They've opened a restaurant that's quite chic, actually. So they've been criticized within the naturist community for opening something that's too good, which is a bit of a shame, because people who've criticized them, they haven't tried it yet. And so we were there for opening night, and quite frankly, for the price you pay, it's not expensive at all. The food is fantastic. It's all fresh produce. It's made on the premises. It's very inventive and delicious. So quite frankly, we had a fantastic evening. So good, in fact, that we booked again for next Thursday.
So are the owners naturists themselves?
They weren't naturists, but they've been to our pool since, And they also went to Port-le-Cat down in the southwest. So they have tried out naturism. So they're not. It's not all about business. They are actually open to the naturist philosophy. And there's a charter as you enter the restaurant that says that nudity is to be respected, and also the naturist ethics. So they're very strict on that. The best form of naturist ethic is respected within the restaurant. So it's all about a friendly, warm environment where nudity is the rule. So with nudity being the rule, obviously you're not going to have, there are 40 places. You're not going to end up with 38 clothed people just coming to see those two naked people sitting in the corner. Everyone is naked. That's the way it is. And it's working well. They've been getting a steady amount of reservations every night. And I'm sure that it's going to be a success for them. They keep going that way.
I saw pictures of the interior of the restaurant. It looks like a very lovely restaurant. It's certainly not, they've spent a fair bit of time in decoration, and it looks very modern and very clean and upscale, as you said, which I think is great. Where do people undress? Do they just undress at their table?
No, as you walk in the door and you're directed off to the left where there's a change room. As I said, there are 40 seats in the restaurant and there are 40 lockers. So everyone gets their own locker with their own key. And you're given a pair of slippers that you can either keep, or otherwise they're thrown in the bin at the end of the evening. And every chair is covered with a, an oofs?
Yeah, a seat cover, essentially like a towel, except it's fitted, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so every seat has its own cover that's also to be used one time only. So hygiene is strictly observed. And after that, the decor is very nice. It's a really nice feeling actually in the restaurant. It's not clinical. It's elegant. And right down to the cutlery, you know, we actually made that comment when we picked up the cutlery to eat. Nice cutlery. Mm. And the glasses, just everything about it. It's all very nice. The staff are extremely friendly. And it's the type of place that you do want to go back to, because you're restaurants in Paris are often famous for not giving the best service. So we do tend to, yes, I can hear the little laugh there. You've obviously experienced it. The thing is that we do tend to give our business to places that make us feel welcome. So and I'm not talking about just being naked now in any restaurant. So when you go to a restaurant and the wait staff are rude, obviously, no matter how good the food is, you're just not going to go back there.
I have experienced it, but interestingly enough, and it's the reputation. You know, everyone has this story, or that mostly that they've heard, not that they've experienced themselves. But really, the only time I've had really rude waiters and service is in tourist areas, particularly in one particular instance where I sat down and all I wanted—I didn't want to order a big lunch. I just wanted a coffee and a little sandwich. And he was obviously annoyed that he was losing a table to somebody. And you know, and I could speak the language perfectly. He was just not—he was—he wanted a tourist. He didn't want a French person who understands that I didn't have to have a huge expensive meal. But generally, when you're outside of the tourist areas, I find the restaurant and the people are very friendly.
It's true, actually. It is the closer the restaurant is to any of the famous monuments, in general, the worse the service is. However, since the terrorist attacks a couple of years ago, things have changed a lot. And because tourism went down for a while. And now you go into a restaurant, they do actually make it a much better effort than before. So if you can say that something good came out of something bad, that could be it.
So do you
think... we're diverging a bit.
So do you think that this restaurant is sustainable? Because to succeed, it can't just be naturists who are going to go.
Well, I actually think that this is a new method of discovering naturism. I'm sure of it. It was the same thing with the woods. When we first started talking about opening the nude zone in the Bois de Vincennes, a lot of naturist clubs outside of Paris, they didn't take too kindly to the idea, because I think they imagined that they would lose people to that area. But it's not the case. The what I said from the beginning was that a lot of people are going to discover naturism thanks to that area. And after that first, or maybe one or two times visiting the woods, they'll say, now I'd like to experience naturism in a club with a swimming pool and meet other people. And so all of the clubs will actually benefit from it. And it's the same thing now with the restaurant. It's for some people, it might be a funny concept. They might say, oh, let's go, and then we can tell our grandchildren one day that we ate naked in a restaurant. But they don't realize that afterwards, there are a lot of people are going to say, you know, it was kind of cool to be naked. And then they're going to say, so apparently there's a swimming pool where we can go and swim naked in Paris, and they might come to us. Or, and then in summertime, they're going to want to discover some of the clubs around the outskirts of the city, or even further afield, the big resorts. So everyone's going to be, every single new naturist venture benefits the entire naturist community. So it shouldn't be criticized, because we all benefit from it, and it's good for our movement. Anything new, anything vibrant like that is going to help everybody. And so I actually think that they will continue to get business, because there will always be naturists who will want to go there again. And there will always be new people who are going to come just for that first time, just for the excitement of eating naked.
And
but
so
once they're there, actually, the thing I said, how good the food is. The food was so good that we actually forgot about being naked completely, because we were just so involved in what we were eating.
Well, and that's the way it should be. I mean, naturism. It's the nudity is just a tool to do. And achieve the goals of the movement to a certain extent. And I'm sure what it does is it creates probably a restaurant where there's much more of a feeling of friendliness and unity, like you experienced at the Bois de Vincennes as well.
That's true.
And the other thing that I've noticed in France, or in Paris anyway, with restaurants, is that when it's cold outside, they don't like to put the heat too high. Is that going to be true here too?
Actually, I asked them to put it down. It was too hot. It was opening night. They actually said to us, you know, we'll be testing everything we want. So I said, oh, to save on the disposable seat covers, why don't we just? I'll just ask everyone to bring a towel. And they said, no. We want to. Test it out as it's going to be for any other customer. So the thing is that they put the heating on to the temperature that they thought would be required. But once the restaurant was full, it was too hot. So I asked them to turn it down a little bit. But, you know, I think that any type of business that opens up, the first few days or weeks or sometimes even months are a test period that, you know, where they have to fine tune certain things. So I kind of expected the heating to be a little bit on the high side.
Well, that's good. That's better than being cold.
Yeah, I'll see next Thursday how it's been made. Yes, no, it's actually, that's right.
Have you heard? Now you went for the first night, which was reserved for the ANP, the Naturist, the Paris Naturist Association. So obviously that was successful. Have you heard since they opened it to the general public whether they've had big crowds or many people?
Yeah, I had an email from a member the other night who went with his wife, and he said that there were between 20 and 30 people, and that it was a good atmosphere, and the food was great, and he said that he'd like to go back soon, both of them, he and his wife. So it's working as they want it to. So this is the thing. It's word of mouth that works better than anything. So by having people who come and enjoy their evening say something good on social media or to friends, that's the best way to get new customers.
So what?
It's not just advertising, will it?
No, but you've done also very well in terms of awareness with all of the free publicity, the media. It's been all over the world, which is great. So what are your future plans now? You've got, as you said, the Naturist neighborhood, which probably isn't just a coincidence that it's in the area where you live. What is the next step? What else do you have up your sleeve?
Well, we're actually at a level of membership now that we haven't been at since 1997. So
that's great.
The association sort of went into decline, I think, for I don't know, a 15-year period, and over the last couple of years, it's really been on the up again. And of course, it's a very positive thing to have so many members, but it also means that we risk having too many people at our swim nights. So I'm trying to find a second pool, but that's not very easy because there aren't that many pools in Paris, and the pools that exist are already full with other associations and clubs who organize their own swim nights, and they're not naturists, so we can't share with them. So we'll see how we go there. The other thing is, the 23 of us went to the International Naturist Swimming Gala in Italy last month, and you may have noticed that my voice isn't quite what it was the last time you saw me, because I spoke so much over the weekend that I lost my voice, and for 10 days I didn't have anything at all. So we made a lot of contacts with other international naturists at the gala, and I offered Paris for the 2019 gala. So next year, 2018, it's going to be in Le Havre, in the north of France, and I said to them that we can try and organize it in 2019. Again, all depends on if we can get an appropriate pool and accommodation nearby, and also the price of the accommodation, because normally it's held in smaller towns where obviously accommodation is a lot less expensive than Paris. So if we can keep it within the budget of the INF, come to Paris in 2 years.
That sounds good.
That's a big
I hope to be coming to Paris before 2 years, actually, but I was supposed to be there actually this month, and then things changed, so, because I definitely want to go to the restaurant. That sounds, you know, there's other nude restaurants that have opened in other cities, but they are not following naturist principles necessarily. I'm not saying that there's anything bad happening there, but I'm very happy that this place, this restaurant in Paris, is working so closely with you and so closely aligned with what we believe in. That's really fantastic. So I have to aim for next summer, where hopefully I can enjoy the park, the pool, and the restaurant, a full day.
Yes. Actually, you could make it into a full couple of days.
So I look forward to my next visit to Paris. I hope that the restaurant does well so I can enjoy a fine meal in the restaurant with my clothes on and with other people that are like-minded. I hope it helps that, and the park helps introduce more people and young people, because the young people, unfortunately, seem to be getting away from the ideas of naturism in France. Being top-free for women is unusual, and the nudity aspects is viewed as kind of funny for a lot of young people. And I think that's because they are being negatively influenced by the North American media, which is becoming pervasive, and everybody's watching the same television shows and the same movies. And in France, it's the same movies dubbed in French, but it's the same attitudes, and the attitudes is that of body shame. So hopefully, with all of these new things happening and this new movement and this new energy that I'm seeing in France, we're going to push back and we're going to return to those years where France was leading and naturism was an up-and-coming movement and people were getting excited about it. So that's all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you so much for listening. My name again is Stéphane Deschaine, and I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And I make this show with a lot of help from Sean Mitchell, who does all the editing and putting together of the audio portion of the show. You can find links to all the items we discussed in the show notes. So if you want to make a reservation for the restaurants, you can do that. The show notes are on the website at naturistliving.bearoaks, B-A-R-E, of course, .ca, because we are in Canada. Please send us a note. I'd love to hear what you think of the show. The show's email address is naturistliving, again, one word, at bearoaks.ca. I read everything. I can't always respond because we do get a lot of correspondence, but I enjoy getting it, and I really do appreciate all the encouragement I get from everyone. You can also call and leave us a comment. A note, the phone numbers for the show are on the show website. And then if you leave a comment that is interesting, we'll be happy to include it in one of the upcoming episodes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and you'll join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. Traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.